Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been here, if you've been listening already, well, you know that makes you a highly intelligent individual. And those of you who just tuned in, look what you got to look forward to. And I know you're going to be a lot more intelligent after you hear what Kimberly Strassel has to say. Kim is a friend of ours, one of the newest members of our Brain Trust. She has what I consider to be one of the coolest jobs on the planet. She's a member of the Wall Street Journal's editorial board. She's also a co-author of a new book, Leaving Women Behind, and she is our new friend. Kim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure. We're always glad to have you on the show. Kim, when earlier this month, you've been covering an issue for a long time on the asbestos cases, the some of the things that we've covered this a little bit on the show before, but over a period of several weeks, you studied this issue, you did a lot of research, a lot of reporting, and you produced an outstanding article that was in the Wall Street Journal editorial pages about 2.5 weeks ago or so, And I just thought that it was a fascinating work that you produced. And even though the asbestos cases on its face might not seem like a small business issue, it really is. It affects us. And I'd like for you to give us a little bit of a tour of this whole issue. Go back to where, you know, kind of how it started, what gave rise to the asbestos case, what are some of the issues there, and then we'll get into some of the absurdities of this case.
Sure. Well, you know, asbestos obviously has been around for a long time. And, you know, the government began to understand probably in the 60s and 70s that it posed some health hazards to people.
Right.
And that's when people started to move to make some restrictions on its use.
A lot of people know that pipes and things like that, walls were coated for soundproofing and for insulation in schools and ships and different things like that, and they started remediating it for that reason.
Yeah, that's right. And we also know too that, you know, I mean, asbestos, when you are exposed to it routinely and in a very bad way, it can cause terrible diseases.
Right.
Cancer, mesothelioma is a cancer you can get from asbestos exposure,
right.
Or asbestosis, which is also a very serious disease.
Of the lungs,
yeah.
Right.
These are very serious things. And people who have these diseases, it's terrible.
And nothing that we're saying today minimizes the impact of asbestos exposure to those people.
No, not at all. And there were plenty of people who had legitimate claims for their asbestos exposure against some companies. The ones that, you know, that we really know are the case are ones that, you know, the people that worked at shipyard factories and they were really around this stuff day in and day out and day in and day out.
Or in the factories that produced the stuff.
That's absolutely right. But what ended up happening is that, you know, in the 1970s around then, the tort lawyers started to sue, especially on behalf of some of these people who really were ill. But like so many things in our legal system, it expanded and it ballooned, and the tort lawyers started bringing people in that had very dubious claims. Now, they sued a lot of the primary people, the asbestos makers, people who had the most liability. And most of those companies went through what you and I would consider very traditional bankruptcies, meaning that they paid out all of their assets, there was nothing left, and then they declared bankruptcy because they were spent. And that led the trial lawyers to look for new sets of targets. And they started to go after companies that didn't necessarily have a lot of liability, and these were companies, maybe they make like flooring with asbestos encapsulated within
it.
or people who made oven mitts that had asbestos in it. Now, these things, just being on them or around them, aren't going to give you asbestos, but the trial lawyers sued them anyway. And the real problem for these companies is they had very good cases in court. They usually won their cases because it's hard to prove that anyone could get asbestos from their products. But what was terrible for them is it was just beating down their stock price, having this litigation hang over them.
Right.
And this is where the idea of prepackaged bankruptcies come in.
Well, and you know, Kim, we're going to go to a break in a few seconds. And folks, stay with us on this because we're going to connect this to you and to your brothers and sisters, small business owners out there. Kim, you know, you were talking about like the floor products. I have seen buildings that received a negative rating from the EPA because the tile, the vinyl tile, the hard tile on the floor had been made. One of the components of that tile was asbestos. Now, that asbestos is not going to leap out of that tile into your lungs.
No.
I mean, you'd have to grind it up and, you know, into a grinder and blow it into the air and intentionally breathe it for it to hurt you, but yet they would, you know, the property's value would go down until that was remediated. Stand
That's
by.
Right.
Quick break. 20 till. We got Kim Strassel with us, and we'll be right back.
And balanced on the precipice, the moment my...
Little Steely Dan for you. Serious rock and roll right here on the Small Business Advocate Show, and we're glad you're here. We're glad Kimberly Strassel is here as well. She is co-author of Leaving Women Behind, which is a topic we've talked about in the past and will in the future. But right now we're talking about another issue that she works hard on, has worked hard on behalf of her job at the Wall Street Journal on the as a member of the Wall Street Journal's editorial board. And folks, as you've heard me say before, I know when you listen to my show, you hear me quoting something from the Wall Street Journal every week. I bring it up every week somewhere. If I only get to read 2 pages of information in any given day, it's the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal. And Kim is part of that. And Kim, thank you for that.
Oh, no, I'm so happy to be on today.
Yeah. Well, and we're talking about the coverage that you did of the asbestos cases. And we were just talking about how the prepackaged bankruptcies came to be through these asbestos cases. And you were just telling us about how that works.
Yeah, this is a big deal. As you know, I mean, prepackaged bankruptcies are common throughout lots of industries, and they're a very legitimate way to deal with a bankruptcy. You get all the parties on board to agree to a plan before the company even goes into bankruptcy, and then the company can go in and out really quickly, and it's better for everyone concerned.
And they take their medicine and move on.
Yeah, that's right. And it's considered a very legitimate form of dealing with financial problems. Now, in the asbestos case, though, the trial bar, thanks to some ingenuity and also some laws that Congress passed back in the 1990s, asbestos bankruptcies have become a sort of perversion of the justice system, and they're now starting to happen all over.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones that we wrote about, because it was the focus of a judge's ruling, that she actually got angry about some of the stuff that had gone on in the end, and she ordered a law firm to disgorge money, which is
virtually unheard of.
It is, and it was an extraordinary amount of money. It
millions
was
of dollars.
Millions and millions of dollars. It was one of the largest disgorgements on history.
This is the attorney, the law firm, having to give back money that they made for the asbestos cases that they tried.
It's a very rare penalty, and that was sort of what brought it to our attention. We heard about this.
And why did the judge get angry about that?
Well, in this case, it's Congoleum, and again, it gets back to these prepacks. It deals with
Congoleum is a company that made the floor covering.
Floor tiling, right, with
right.
very minimal amounts of asbestos in it, encapsulated in the floor tiling, which meant that it's very rare and difficult for you to get asbestos exposure from this.
It's not going to leap out of your tile and climb into your lungs.
No, unless you maybe were, for instance, a floor installer who was sanding it on a regular basis or something that was releasing the asbestos.
Right.
This isn't going to be a product that hurt most people.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, they had been hit by many claims, and they were approached by these trial lawyers who tend to do a lot of these prepackaged bankruptcies, and they said, look, we've got a deal for you. You're suffering. Your stock price is down in the dumps. It's going to be so long as this litigation remains. So let's do a prepackaged bankruptcy, and hear how it works. We're going to put all of the money into a special trust that's mostly going to go to, you know, our plaintiffs. and you're going to just put in a minimal amount of money, you know, maybe about $3 million in a promissory note that you pay 10 years down the line. And then you'll whip in and out of bankruptcy. You'll come out. All your liabilities will be gone. You'll have a clean bill of health. Your shares will be great. We'll
all the small business owners who you owed money to at the moment of the bankruptcy are going to get a letter saying, we're in bankruptcy. Good luck.
That's probably right.
Yeah.
And then the kind of, you know, the sweetness of the deal from the companies and the lawyers' perspective was that they were going to hand the entire bill to the insurers.
Mm-hmm.
The insurers would be left holding the bag. Now, in the past, the companies and the insurers had worked together to keep the claims down and win judgments in court.
And to fight cases like this.
And to fight cases and to do the right thing. And now suddenly the offer, this prepack, the whole dynamic had changed. You had the lawyers and the companies working together to make the sort of biggest payoff possible, which would make the lawyers happy.
Right.
And they were going to hand the whole bill to the insurers. And now this has been happening in companies, asbestos companies, all across the nation in a number of prepacks. And we sort of explained how it worked and some of the other funny shenanigans that went
well,
on as part of
it. Let me throw
too.
One another thing out at you. There are plaintiffs who these law firms who were pushing the prepackaged things, prepackaged bankruptcies, they had their plaintiffs. Then there were other plaintiffs who were represented by other people. And Kim, if I'm not mistaken, those people sort of got the hindmost in this deal. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, too, and what has made a lot of judges very concerned about these prepackaged bankruptcies is that the lawyers who have been setting it up, they set it up, as we talked about, to make sure that the big payoff, the secured
right.
payoff, goes to their own plaintiffs.
First.
But that anyone, right, first and right away, but that anyone who sort of comes 10 years down the road, let's say there's someone right now who legitimately was, you know, sanding Congress. Mongolian floor mm-hmm. tiles, and 10 years down the road ended up with mesothelioma. They get ushered into a second trust that will probably get paid pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been striking some judges as unfair, and it's actually caused some of these plans to be rejected in court. And this is all part of the news and one of the reasons why we were writing about it, because all of this is slowly starting to unravel, which is good news for the justice system. But it has gone on for a long time, and a lot of these prepacks were actually approved already.
Exactly. And also, it actually has gotten all the way into Congress, hasn't it?
That's right. I mean, now people are, I mean, obviously Congress has been working for several years to try to come up with an asbestos trust fund.
With a fund. And when we
yeah.
come back, you're going to tell us about that. Remember, folks, every time there's a bankruptcy by one of these big companies, small businesses are hurt all over the place because they do business with these companies. They have outstanding invoices, maybe large bills, accounts receivable, that they don't get. They get pennies on the dollar when the bankruptcy happens. Twin Till, we're going to be right back with our good friend Kim Stressel. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Kimberly Stressel, the co-author of Leaving Women Behind, and she's part of the editorial page for the Wall Street Journal, my favorite newspaper on the planet. And so look for her byline, folks, and you can, I'm sure you can find her online. Her last name is spelled Stressel, and with one, that's one L, and Kimberly is without an E between the L and the Y, just in case you wanted to know. Kim, one of the reasons why, by the way, that's WSJ.com, isn't it?
That's right.
So if you want to find him online. One of the reasons why I wanted you to be here to talk to us about this is because I really have a problem, and I think many Americans have a problem. Small business owners certainly have a problem with predatory practices by trial lawyers. And when I say predatory, folks, I'm talking about where they look around and they find an opportunity to sue companies. But when they first think of the idea of suing companies, they don't have a plaintiff yet. They got to go find a plaintiff. And Kimberly, you and I were talking earlier about how do these lawyers find these people? Do they find them on MySpace.com, or you know, where do they find these plaintiffs, or maybe the experts, the so-called experts that they use to prove their cases? How do they get
right.
these people together?
Well, you know, and this is actually also an interesting element of this Congolian asbestos bankruptcy that we've been talking about you know, most of the time, well, what they do is they go around, and for instance, in the asbestos thing, they'll hire these screening companies, these mobile vans, and then they'll take them around to various work sites around the country where there are union members, and they'll put out advertisements, and they'll say, come get a free lung x-ray.
Right.
And, you know, and who's going to pass that up? It's a good idea, you know, especially if you think you're dealing with honest and capable doctors.
Right.
So you go in and you get this x-ray, and then the doctors, you know, look at it. And some of the recent testimony that's come out shown that some of them spend about, 2.5 minutes looking at an x-ray, if that.
Right. Right.
You know, and just to give a the alternative, when normally when you go to a good doctor, you know, to be diagnosed with an asbestos disease would take hours and hours of a very in-depth tests and histories of your occupational exposure and things. But they go and they look at these x-rays and the doctors go, "Oh yeah, he has it, he has it, he has it, he has it." And then they come up with all the and you know, you signed a release before you even went in to get your x-ray done that says that you wanted to be part of the litigation.
Right. You would join the suit. Mm-hmm.
And it's down at the bottom of the kind of fine print at the end of this thing as you go.
Well, and
your
basically
x-ray.
You're thinking it's found money now, so why would you not want to stick with them if this is how you've gotten there? Well, what give us the resolution of the asbestos case. Where do you think it's going to go? Of all these asbestos cases?
All of this? Look, I think in the asbestos cases are beginning to unravel. People are starting to judges, after 30 years, are starting to take a look at some of the claims and realizing that they're bogus.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, Congress has not been able to get its act together on the trust fund, which I would argue is a good thing, because I think that there's an element of justice and fairness we need to actually figure out in the court system, which is where this mess all began.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these cases deserve to be resolved and which don't before we have a government program that taxpayers may well end up paying for that is going to pay out a lot of money to.
Kim, if there is a trust fund established, taxpayers will pay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously they've set it up in a way that they say, you know, businesses are going to pay into it. And this gets to another point your audience might be interested in, Jim. The biggest people who have been fighting against the trust fund are smaller businesses, private businesses. Because if you're the big guys, if you're GE or Honeywell or all of these, your liability, the amounts you have to pay into this trust fund are capped, and they're a very small fraction of your revenue every year. But there are some smaller companies that have said, look, we've managed our asbestos liabilities very well up to now, but if you make us pay into this trust fund, we will go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. How many corporate bankruptcies do you know of that as a result of asbestos cases?
The estimate is about 75. There
Not all of them were
more.
Big companies either, were they?
No, there were certainly smaller companies that had only tangential liability to the asbestos problem.
Right.
And you know, a lot of the companies that we're talking about now that are saying no to the trust fund are smaller companies that, you know, they're saying, look, you know, we've got a plan. We've been fighting this stuff in court. Give us the opportunity, because if you make us pay into this now, we're not going to make it.
And for every company that's bankrupt, could be dozens, maybe hundreds of small business vendors who didn't get paid because of that bankruptcy. And that's another thing that I keep thinking about. Hey, Kim, the book is called Leaving Women Behind, and it's available wherever books are sold, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Kim, for being here. We'll see you next time. Kim Strassel, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I will be, too, after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.